Matthew 13 is where we're going to begin looking today. I want to say good morning to each one of you. Pray God's word is going to bless you today. You're casting crowns and singing the song while you were sleeping. And God's saying something this morning. I believe he'd have us to preach out of the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. If you got your Bible and you're able to, turn there. If you're not, we're going to read the text. It's perfectly okay. But in verse number 24, the 13th chapter, watch this in the 24th verse where the word said, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, it brought forth fruit. Then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Father, thank you for the reading of your word today. Speak it, I pray. The precious words from the lips of the Lord Jesus. I pray you'd speak those words, God, speak them in every heart. You know all things, you know all needs. God, you know my needs. Lord, you know the one today that's faint, you know their needs. God, you know the lost, you know their needs. Father, I praise you because you're a God that ministers to each one of us. And God, without you, we can do nothing. Take and bless your word. In his name we pray it. Amen and amen. Watch this place in Matthew 13. Because there's a passage right here that I think God would like us to focus on a little bit. And here Jesus spoke parables, and a parable was a story. And sometimes we hear the yeas and the nays, and we think, well, I don't understand all of the lingo of that hour. But that's not the problem. All of that is very understandable. I remember when God saved me in 1987, I began to read his word. And there were a lot of things that I didn't hear commonly where I grew up. It was not the kind of talk we used in South Alabama, but it didn't take a lot to figure it out. And of course, there's all kinds of tools. If you see a word you don't understand, it's just like you were in school. I remember Miss Clark, my fifth grade teacher. We'd ask her what something meant or how to spell it. That's what it was. And we'd say, well, how do you spell it? And she said, well, look it up. And so, you know, we was just smart aleck old boys. And we was like, well, how do you look it up if you can't spell it? And you may feel like that. How do I understand it if I don't understand it? But you can understand it, and God's got all kind of tools for that. And so we don't want to be spiritually lazy about understanding God's word. There's nothing that God won't show us about his word, and he has all kind of tools. Most of you can do all of that on your phone. And so the smartphones are a marvelous invention for the things we can access. You can listen to God's word going down the road on your phone. And so that's a blessing. And so we can understand it. We got all the tools and helps. But here, watch now. The words of Jesus are easy to understand. And so we understand it. The spiritual man understandeth it. And so the flesh rejects it. You say, well, you know, my first impression is to reject it. Well, that's what the flesh does. But we don't want to live after the flesh. Jesus said, if you live after the flesh, Paul did in Romans 8, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And so our life's to be a spiritual life, not a fleshly life. And so we don't give in to the whims of the flesh. We want to obey God and those things, especially be good stewards of his word. And so another parable, a parable was a story that is a comparable story. And it's a story that would be used to make the point. And he spake it, and he said, I want to show you what the kingdom of heaven is likened to. And he said, it's likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now it's planting time. Spring of the year, everything's putting forth. Everything is It's God's time for the earth to replenish itself with the newness of spring. And so that's why we have the blooms and the blossoms. And that's why we have all of the planting time and seed time. And Jesus talked about seed time and harvest. Matter of fact, God told Noah, when Noah got off the big boat, God said there'll never be a time when there's not seed time and harvest. And so here, watch now, Jesus has taken this truth, and he said, watch what happened. There's a man went forth, and he had some good seed, and he sowed it in his field. And he said, but while men slept, now watch, we understand this concept. We don't know what's going on outside at night. We can think we do. We feel pretty good about it. Maybe you got a yard light, a security light. And you say, well, I know what's going on out in the fields at night. But we really don't, do we? And so that's why so much wickedness takes place at night, in the darkness of night. And in the darkness of this night, the Word said, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. You know, I've watched this in the ministry where people felt like they come by that weren't genuine, that weren't earnest seekers of the Lord Jesus, and maybe the enemy hath done this. And so we're going to see this down in verse 28. You're going to find things in your life, people's going to say things, and you're going to take it at first and say, well, what does that mean? And later on, you're going to see that maybe the enemy hath done this. Maybe discouragement. God's not the author of discouragement, and he's not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And so when confusion and discontentment of those things arise, and it brings discouragement, that's not what God's doing. And so if God's not doing it, who is it? There's only two powers in the earth that are spiritual forces. And one of those is godly, and the other is satanic. And so we are driven, we as people are driven by one of those two forces all the time. We say we're our own man. People say, well, I'm my own woman, and I do that I want to do. But really, you're not. You're driven by the forces that rule the earth and rule the heavens. Now, we know that Satan has been loosed for a little season, and he's going to be loosed for a little season again. In Revelation 20, we find that. But right now, he is having his way and creating havoc on the earth. But that's only for a while. And so while men slept, see, this is what's happening. You know, I want to say it to the pastor, the preacher, that, you know, you do good work for God. I pray you do. But while men sleep, what's going on? The enemy is sowing tares among the wheat. And Jesus likened this. Now, I want us to see this for what it is, because he didn't say that these tares just sprung up on their own. You know, if you garden, you might have a bad case of nut grass. It'll come up right by itself. Don't need any help. And crabgrass will take your garden over. You look out and you'll have a pretty patch of peas, and next thing you know, can't see it for the crabgrass. And so these things happen naturally. But Jesus is not talking about, he's not talking about native seeds. Those are seeds that come back on their own. No, he's talking about what's going on that the enemy hath done. So what happens is God speaks to your heart. You know, you come to a place and time in your life when the Lord's dealing with you, and you want the grace of God to be real to you. But while men sleep, the enemy comes and sows tares among the wheat. And so they arise in the flock, or they arise in your heart. In your heart, you want to do what's right. But the enemy continually bombards you, sowing seed and tares among the wheat. And so what happens? It hinders. And Jesus said, this is what happens. While men slept, his enemy came. I want you to see that in the 25th verse. First thing we need to understand is that we have an enemy. The devil's not your friend. Satan is not on your side. And so you say, well, preacher, I was raised up in satanic worship. I know people like that were raised up around witchcraft. And so what happened? God saved them out of it. God saved them, and they came out of that they were taught all their life. And so we have to understand that the enemy is not our friend. And so while men slept, his enemy came. God help us to understand that we do have enemies. Jesus had enemies. And so it would be nice if everything was like Mary Poppins and everything was like Pollyanna, but it's not. We have an enemy. We have to understand who he is, what he is, what he does, and where he does it. And so we see it here that he's sowing seed among the wheat. He's sowing tares. And those tares are to be a hindrance. And so watch it. See it now into the 26th verse. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. See, this is the very principle that when a believer begins to bear fruit, when the believer begins to do that God wants him to do, all of a sudden he looks around. And Paul said this, remember the Galatian church. He said, ye did run well, but who did hinder you? Who hath hindered you? We see it, that there are hindering forces. You said, preacher, I want to please God, but I can't find how. Well, Paul said something like that. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. You know why? Because while men sleep, the enemy sows tares among the wheat. And Jesus likened this. It's not only so in the public church, it's not only so in the body, but it's also so in every believer. And so what happens? We want to do God's will. We leave. Maybe you attend church or you hear a service or a broadcast of some sort and you're encouraged by it and you want to do what's right. But as soon as you go away, what happens? The enemy begins to try to steal the word of God out of your heart. And the next thing you know, you're finding yourself going back to those things that hinder you. And so that's what Paul asked. He said, you did run well, but who hath hindered you that you should not obey the truth? And so we must understand there's an enemy. We have to realize we can't go in our own strength. We can't go in our own might, our own power. When Peter got off the boat, as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord Jesus, he was walking on the water. Thank God, I don't care how rough the storm got. You know, the Sea of Decapolis is kind of like, it's the Sea of Galilee, is much like Lake Eufaula, if you will. Those of you that are familiar, or any large lake in your community. And so the lake was a big lake, and it was seen as a sea because it was a big body of water, but it technically wasn't an ocean. It was a big lake. And somebody was telling me this past week that almost half a dozen boats were lost in some of the 4 and 5 foot waves on Lake Eufaula because they were trying to get across and the waves sunk them. And watch now, watch here, Jesus is coming on the water, and the boats are rocking, and it's full of water, and everything's a mess, and those disciples are in turmoil, and Peter said, Lord, if it be you, you know, they saw him as a spirit, they saw him coming, and they were afraid, and Peter's the only one said, Lord, if it be you, then bid me to come unto you. And Jesus said one word. He said, come. There was no debate. There was no checklist. Thank God the call of the Savior's to come. Christ wants you to come. God's died. Jesus bled on a cross. We just celebrate the great crucifixion week and resurrection week. And so we see it that while men slept, the enemy has sowed tares among the wheat. But the word of God from Christ is to come. And he said, Peter, come. And as long as his eyes was on Christ, he could come. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. But watch now. We're no different than that. When we take our eyes off Christ, we began to sink. We began to sink in our heart. We began to sink in our mind. We began to sink in the mire, in the filth of the world. We began to feel the influences of evil all around us. And what happens? Things that used to didn't bother us, now all of a sudden we become angry and upset. Our tempers flare. People said, preacher, I don't have any problems. Well, I can tell you one you got. You can't tell the truth. truth, because you just told one of the biggest mistruths ever. And we know that every person is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And so we all have troubles. We got it right there in the Word of God. And Peter kept his eyes on Christ. Everything was good. I tell you, I feel like everything's good when my eyes were on the Lord Jesus. And as soon as he took his eyes off Christ, the Word said he began to sing. You know what happens to us? That we will find ourselves sinking in the mire or the waves. We will find ourselves sinking in the troubles of this life if our eyes aren't kept upon Jesus. The old song says, keep your eyes on Jesus. I like that song, and it's exactly what we need to do. Why? Because while men slept, I tell you, while you slept last night, you know what happened? The enemy was sowing tares among you wheat. And while men slept, people said, preacher, I don't have to pray for trouble. It finds me on its own. Absolutely right. While, because men, when men sleep, the enemy's still working. Thank God, God's still working, but the enemy's working too. I want to show you this. Watch this, you'll find it. Right here, when Jesus was born of a woman. You know when God was doing his great work in the middle of the night, as he spoke to those shepherds and sent them to find a Savior. Well, you know what happened? God was doing it by night. While men slept, the enemy works. But while men sleep, God works too. Let's not take that out of the equation. And so just because the enemy's working does not change the fact that God's working. It's why we ought to pray. It's why we ought to read his word. It's why we ought to ask him to watch us. You know, the prayer, the child prayer, the childlike prayer, it's a childlike prayer, but really, it's a great prayer for adults. As I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I tell you, that's a very biblical prayer. And so, sometimes I have fun talking about the little lay me down to sleep prayer, but that prayer is not to be taken lightly. I like to have fun and be a little lighthearted with it. And sometimes that's about as deep as our prayer life gets. But I'm going to tell you how to get the job done. Because while men sleep, thank God, the enemy works, but God works. And so we see it here. Christ in the tomb. You know when God raised him? God raised him while men slept. And so let's not take this out of the factor that though the enemy does his dirty work, you know, much of nature performs its acts during the night. And so in wildlife and in vegetable life, those things happen through the night. That's why God set up the day and the night. That's why God told Noah that there'll never be a time that God's world didn't work just exactly like he said it up with the four seasons. And why? Because God's work takes place. And so Christ crucified, God raised him while men slept. Very early in the morning they went to the tomb. And you know what they found? They found he wasn't there. Why? Because while men slept, I know the devil was working. I understand the enemy. We're not giving him glory. We're giving God the glory. You said, preacher, while I'm sleeping, bad things are happening. But I'm going to tell you, when our trust is in the Lord, when our hope's in him, you know what happens? God does great exploits on our behalf, and God works, and God keeps us, and God preserves us. And so it was in the middle of the night when Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto thee. And he said, come. And as long as his eyes are on Christ, see, we're going to focus on what God's going to do. We're going to trust him for help. We're not counting on our own strength. No, we're trusting him for the great help and the great power and the great strength to get through this life and please God well. And so while men sleep, thank God, God works too. That's exciting to me. And see it now. Let's go forward a little bit into the text. And he said unto them, they asked the question, from whence came the tares? And Jesus said, an enemy hath done this. And so we've talked about that truth. We need to understand that we have an enemy. We don't want enemies. Some people out there trying to create enemies. I don't have to create enemies. That we have a enemy. one singular enemy, and that's the devil. We have him. He's enemy enough. I don't want to make enemies. I want to make friends, don't you? A friendly man must show himself friendly, Proverbs said. And so sometimes, you know, people say, well, I don't have any friends. Well, do you show yourself friendly? Some people don't. Some people choose not to be friendly, and therefore they live in their own demise because they feel like they have no friends. But thank God, God's Word deals with that. I'm not trying to make enemies. I want to make friends. And thank God I have a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have other friends. And I don't want to make enemies. I have enemy enough in Satan. In the devil. We find it right here. He's described by many terms. And so watch it. The enemy, Jesus said, hath done this. He said, I know where it come from. The enemy hath done it. And they said, Lord, can we just go up there? Can we just go out there ripping and tearing and snatching and acting crazy? You know, this is what happens in so many places of worship. This is what happens in civic organizations and things of just the natural world. What happens is people try to do the dividing work, and usually, you know what will happen? I've always made this point while preaching. You know, if I thought I knew who the saved were, what I'd find out is I would throw the good ones out and keep the bad. You know why? Because I don't know who the saved are. I don't understand everything about this life. You said, preacher, well, I can look at them and tell. No, you can't. You can't do it. And that's what they said. They said, shall we go out there and take the tares from the wheat? And Jesus said, boys, you make a mess. You make the biggest mess. He said, let them all grow together. Let both grow together. Verse 30. I'm going to say this and encourage you, some of you good people out there that mean well, let God do the separating. That would be a word of encouragement to you today. And so I know people today that look down their pious nose, and they got long robes and long prayers. That's what the Pharisee had, and long noses. And so what we see is people today, they want to divide and they want to separate and they want to try to cull who the saved are and who the saved aren't. And you know what you'll do? You'd do what I do. You'd pull up all the wheat and leave the tares. You'd take and remove those that God truly saved, and you'd leave a lot of self-righteous people. I tell you, we got to leave that business to God. Jesus made the point, let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say, I'm talking about the words of Christ now, he said, I'll say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Now, this is something here we got to get in our last few minutes together. Let's not fool ourselves. That analogy that Christ made is a great analogy that says God will judge every man rightly. You know, I'm glad. If there's one thing that really delights my heart, is that I'm not trusting in the wisdom of men of where I spend eternity. I'm not trusting. I've had people say, well, preacher's not saved. He's not even saved. And you know what? People may say that about you. People may say things like this, ridiculous things. God done something in your heart. You know he done it. But you know what the enemy says? He's a discourager. And he speaks doubt. And he does it sometimes through the mouths of people that you would least expect. But that's okay, because what we find is the eternal judge, him that separates from the tares and the wheat, is not in the hands of men. It won't be by the deacons, and it won't be by the piano player, and it won't be by the pastors, and it won't be by those over district or headquarters or the General Assembly or the Pope. It won't be any of those things. Thank God it'll be Christ. It'll be God alone is working upon the judgment seat where men are judged. And you know what's going to determine whether they're saved or lost? I'm going to say something to this about you, because some of you are wondering, preacher, what must I do to be saved? Oh yeah, that question got asked, didn't it? What must I do to be saved? And that's what people want to know today. The only thing that'll save you is putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, being born again, becoming a new creature that God's created. And what's that mean? That does not mean you have to physically be born again. That means spiritually there's a new birth. And so what happens when God saves a sinner? He births that sinner into the kingdom of God when he saves him. Jesus looked at Nicodemus in John 3:7 and said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." What's that? That's a new birth. That's a new birth. That's when Christ saves a sinner by his grace. There's a new birth. That spirit man is resurrected. He's created. He's created. God creates a brand new creature in the inner man. And so we find it here that that's what it takes to be saved. It's not up to the hands of men. The preacher will never have anything to say about where you spend eternity. It's not in signing the card. It's not in the proverbial joining the church. When God saves you, he'll make you part of Christ's church, and you'll be a member of Christ's church by a new birth. Everything else is pretty insignificant. And we see this, that while men sleep, the enemy's doing his work. But thank God, God's doing his work to church. I tell you, sinner man, sinner woman, you say, "What's that mean, preacher?" You're outside of saving grace. We're all sinners condemned to a devil's hell. And the only thing that's going to change that is a new birth, being saved by the marvelous grace of God, being born again. And so that can be that can be your experience, you and God. I like what the Ethiopian eunuch said. He said he believed and he wanted to know. He said, "Here's water, and what doth hinder me to be baptized?" And so the new birth, thank God, that Ethiopian eunuch got saved in his chariot. You could get saved in your automobile today going down the road. You could get saved in the garden. You could get saved at the house. You could get saved listening to this broadcast if you repent and pour your heart out to God and ask Christ to come into your life and save you and make a brand new creature out of you. That's what the new birth is. And that's the only thing that determines, the only thing that determines where we spend eternity. Jesus said, "Let them both grow together. Let them both grow together. And thank God he said something will happen. He said, "God will gather together first the tares." And you know what he's going to do? He's going to bind them. He's going to bind them. What's going to happen to sinners, preacher? He's going to bind them, and he's going to put them in hell. That's what's going to happen. It's sad, but it's so. I don't delight in that. I wish it wasn't so, but it is. Jesus said, "Let them both grow together." You know what that means? We're all going to go through this life together. We're all coming through this life. And you know what's going to happen? We're all going to an eternal judgment. And we're all going to find ourselves in this place. And the Word said, what's he going to do? He's going to burn those that are tares. But thank God he's going to gather the wheat into my barn. Jesus was a country preacher. I like country applications, don't you? I like country living and country life. Jesus said, don't you worry about the Father. He's going to put his wheat in the barn. Thank God he's going to put his wheat in the barn, church. He's not going to leave one of them out. Amen. I don't have anything to fear. You know why? Because Jesus is going to put the wheat in the barn. And we can be happy in that. That's something to rejoice in. You said, preacher, I don't understand all of these great Bible truths. I don't either. It's not important that we understand them. It's important that we believe them. Casting Crowns is singing that song. While men slept, thank God the King was born. Oh, while men slept, you said, preacher, I don't know how I'm going to get it all done for God. Well, you know what's going to happen. You're not going to get it all done for God. But while we sleep, church, the Lord is working. You said, my loved ones need to be saved. While men slept, thank God, God's working too. God's working in the lives of those that we love and care for, doing an eternal work, and we can trust him with that. Thank God, what a Savior. Father, take your word. Speak it today to every heart. God, lead us and guide us in all your truths. Do eternal things, and we'll praise you, Father. We'll praise you for it. In his name we ask it. Amen and amen.
like another side of night. The Father gave his only Son, the way, the truth, the life had come, but there was no room for him in the world he came to save. Jerusalem, what you have missed while you were sleeping, the Savior of the world is dying on your cross today. Jerusalem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its king while you were sleeping. United States of America looks like another silent night. As we're sung to sleep by philosophies that say the trees and kill the children. And while we're lying in the dark, there's a shout across the eastern sky. For the bridegroom has returned and has carried his bride away in the night, in the night. America, what will we miss while we are sleeping? Would Jesus come again and leave us slumbering where America, will we go down in history as a nation?